Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hi, Mark.
Good to see you in studio once again. And we are continuing our discussion of something you call wealth reception.
Yes.
And you kind of want to review a little bit about where we've been.
Yeah, so wealth reception is really the idea of, instead of creating a estate plan from the creator's point of view, kind of a top-down perspective, we look at whether or not the next generation is ready to receive what is going to come their way. Not just are they ready to receive it in a financial capacity, but also a spiritual capacity. And so it's really blending both of those thought processes together. Do they have the financial skills to manage what is going to come their way? Oftentimes, inheritors receive more than what they've ever had before in their life. And oftentimes, inheritors don't have financial skills. It doesn't make them a bad person. It just means that they don't have financial skills yet. So are they ready to manage it on a practical level? And then what is the vision with what is being handed off? And so that takes a little bit of a blend, which is, what is the vision that God gave you as the creator of an estate plan? In other words, what's the legacy that you are going to leave to the next generation? Is it simply that I'm going to give money and que sera, sera, whatever they do is what they do? Or is it something that God has put a vision in your heart that says, I really want to make a last act of stewardship to the greatest ability I can? In other words, God has put something in my heart, and I want a way to make sure that that is continued to the next generation. So if that is true, then estate planning can be a very exciting and a very fulfilling journey instead of just simply getting legal documents. Because look, you can get legal documents anywhere, and some are good, some are bad. Unfortunately, I look at a lot of stuff that is just average at best that comes across my desk. So anyone and everyone needs to do estate planning, no matter what their long-term vision is, or no matter how much you have or don't have. So everyone needs to do this drill called estate planning. But the question is, what is your ultimate desire and goal with what God has placed into your hands? What's the vision He's placed in your heart? Of course, that takes seeking Him. It takes some time in His presence and actually longing to know what God desires for you to do. And once you have that vision, then estate planning can actually be very fulfilling, both for you and for the next generation when it's done in a long-term biblical viewpoint fashion.
Is this approach unique in the way you do estate planning, do you think?
Yeah, I don't know how many estate planners are really taking a biblical approach or are willing to sit down with clients and talk out, okay, what has God put on your heart? So that there's a step one right there. But unfortunately, a majority of documents I see come across my desk are very templated, and it's very easy to recognize a templated form. And really, the unfortunate part about a template is that the law and taxes are already pre-designed. And so then an attorney is trying to fit you into a legal document instead of using the law and taxes to wrap around what your vision is. So in my opinion, estate planning is about you first as the creator. How do we protect you during your lifetime? But then this legacy component, this wealth reception component, which is, what does it look like for the next generation to receive what is being passed off to them? Unfortunately, I think that is a rather unique approach and focus that comes out of my firm. But it's hard for me to speak to what other firms are doing. All I can say is, what I've seen come across my desk would tell me that not many people are actually focusing on this
so even
portion
trust,
of it.
Even a trust that's a more elaborate kind of documentation, that can be templated as well. I would think that that would be customized by its very nature.
Well, see, from what I see, reviewing other people's work, because when clients come in, some clients have done a good job of estate planning already. And so I'll review what they have. And yes, when we use a trust, there are some trusts, not all, unfortunately, but some trusts, you can look at it and you can see places where an attorney actually did some specific personalized work. But even with a trust, the majority of it is still a template document from what I see. And we really try to take a different approach, which is we want to create personalized and strategic plans to preserve family wealth and values for generations. So it's not just about the money. It's about preserving generational values that will really set up what your kids are going to do, what your grandkids can possibly do if you have sufficient assets to pass generationally, or to charities or to other people if you have no kids. And so just because I mentioned the next generation, it doesn't make it less powerful to actually have a plan of attack if you're going to leave things to charities. Many small charities, they want to do well, but they have the same temptations as what an individual does, which is look at this big sum of money that I got. Let's use it very quickly. Now, we hope that in a charitable environment, they're going to be using it for the right purposes. But one of the big questions I have even for charities is, would it have been better if we had spread out that gift over a period of years to bring that gift into the charities over time, instead of just here's your check and go ahead and knock
yourself
out.
Now,
what does
that accomplish if you do it over time?
Well,
tax reasons? Or?
No, I mean, it could be a tax reason, but if you have a tax need from an estate plan, you're going to get the same tax effect whether you write a check immediately or whether you give it over a period of years. So I think of a local church. So local churches are made up of boards, you hope, right? So elders, they have a board. They have somebody who is helped directing the pastor and the organization as a whole make decisions. And oftentimes that means financial decisions. Well, those individuals are our neighbors. And it could be an attorney. It could be a CPA. It could be a farmer. It could be anyone along the line of professions. But the whole thing is that they're just trying to do well. And is it possible that, like an inheritor, they may likewise get a little bit overwhelmed, or they may get bright-eyed and big-eyed with a larger sum of money that says, ooh, let's use it for this purpose, and all of a sudden it's gone. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, Proverbs 20:21, so it says, an inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning. So in other words, an inheritance comes to you out of the blue, whether it's coming to a church or whether it's coming to an individual. But the end thereof shall not be blessed. And why this scripture? I mean, unfortunately, it's talking about human nature. So, which is, something comes to you out of the blue, and it's our human nature to get wide-eyed with that and use it faster than if we had built that wealth on our own or had received it little by little. And that can happen to a charity just like it can happen to an individual, because charitable organizations are just ran by individuals behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And so could it be wise? I'm not saying it is. I'm only asking the question, could it be wise, whether an inheritance is coming to an individual or whether it is coming to an organization, a charitable organization, to have that come to them in over a period of years instead of having the all-available mentality? Now, some people would consider that could be controlling from the grave. Fine. If that's your view, that's not what I'm trying to say is good or bad or indifferent. that takes me back to what I've already said, which is, what has God told you to do? And that is the big deal. If your initial reaction is, well, that sounds like it's control from the grave, well, but are you willing to listen to the Holy Spirit if indeed He guides you to do a plan like this? Or if your natural response is, man, that sounds great, my kids need this over a 20-year period, are you willing to listen to the Holy Spirit if He gives you a different alternative? So my call to action is always go and seek the heartbeat of the Father first. Get His heartbeat for what He has put into your hands. And then we can be good stewards, administratively giving what we have at the end of our life in the proper way. So whether that is to individuals or to charities, all I'm saying is that this scripture is in front of us. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. And we need to take into account God's wisdom right out of the gate. And this is God's wisdom to us when we talk about inheritances, which is, we need to have a strong, thoughtful plan to ensure that it's meeting the heartbeat and it's aligning biblically, because isn't that what we desire as believers? We want to make sure that all areas of our life align with His word, with His heartbeat. And so my question is, does your estate plan align with His heartbeat for you and your family? And if not, then we have some work to do, and it's not a problem. But we need to have that confidence first. So go seek out the Father. Go seek His heartbeat for your family, for the organizations that you're supposed to bless. And then from there, when we see the picture, we can actually start carrying it out to make sure that indeed Proverbs 20:21 is not going to be the end result of just simply writing a check at the end of the day.
Talking about wealth reception this week on the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. If you're intrigued by Paul's approach, you would like more information, maybe have him help do some work on your estate. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts. There's educational opportunities coming up, and you can get in contact with us. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Many families realize that with the passing of each generation, their family legacy is disappearing and they're feeling regret. To alleviate this heartache, Memories Worth Telling writes their family story and creates a beautiful heirloom book to preserve their unique history. Go to memoriesworthtelling.com to schedule your initial consultation and learn how they can capture your legacy. Once again, that's memoriesworthtelling.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Well, with co-host Mark Holland, Legacy and Faith Show this week, continuing our discussion, our look at wealth reception, how to pass on your estate in a proper way to those you love and care about, charities, whatever. And there's two tools that we use in estate planning, Paul. You're always reminding us it's either a will or a trust. And we want to look at what can a will accomplish and maybe not accomplish in this process?
Yeah, and we've talked a little bit about this in past shows as well, but really a will is a check-writing instrument, and it might indeed be appropriate. I'm not saying that it's not an appropriate tool. So a will operate that and accomplish a couple major objectives. Number one, it tells us who's going to close your estate. That's always a good thing. We need to appoint someone to close our estate. And then number two, it'll tell us who are the beneficiaries, ultimately who receives what we have at the end of the day. And that's a good thing. So we make sure that our beneficiaries are clearly known. And then it will also tell us what the court process needs to be. In other words, it speaks to the court on these are the issues, court, that I empower my representative to have. And, oh, by the way, court, please stay out of our business to the greatest degree possible. So those are the three major functions. There is a fourth function, which is it'll name guardianships for minor children. So if you have minor children, then a guardianship designation goes into your will. Those are the four major things. But one of my concerns with wills is that it ultimately just writes a check to somebody. It puts it in their hands. So there's very little opportunity to protect the next generation. Or, like we were just talking about before break, it gives very little opportunity for your vision and for what you want to be accomplished, to actually be accomplished. So in other words, it just gives someone assets. And if they have no financial skills, if they're not aligning themselves biblically, or if they are not honoring what you desired for them to do with what you have given them, then maybe your intent, maybe what the Father has spoken to you is not going to be fulfilled as you had hoped and as you desire. So a will can do some very good things, and it may indeed be appropriate depending on what you want to accomplish. I can't answer what you want to accomplish until we sit down and talk. So is a will a proper document? It could be. It absolutely could be. But I don't know until we actually sit down and we think through what actually you desire. So one of my big concerns with wills is that it simply writes money. And as we talked about Proverbs 20:21, that's when an inheritance is quickly gained. In other words, it's just dropped off in somebody's hands. And what they do with it, we no longer have the ability to give them direction. So wills can be appropriate. Don't know. We got to sit down and talk about it. We tend, in my firm, to lean more towards a trust mechanism because we do have the opportunity to build in to the document long-term vision, long-term passion of how the money is to be utilized, whether it's immediately or over time. And again, that goes back to whether it's to charities or whether it's to individuals. So for us, typically a trust can be a better instrument, but it all depends on what an individual's vision is. So let's talk about a trust really quick and why that instrument can actually be a very powerful instrument. Now, we've talked in the past that that not every beneficiary has the same financial skill set. It doesn't make someone a bad person if they don't understand finances or if they just can't manage finances. It simply means they don't have a particular skill, or God just has not wired them in that particular way to think about finances. Some individuals may need greater guidance from your voice on how to utilize money if indeed it comes to them. Again, it doesn't make them bad or wrong. It just simply means that they need greater direction. If someone has a disability, then they will not be able to manage their own finances, whether that's a social disability or whether that's a permanent disability.
Like a Down's child.
Yep, that's right. Something that an individual was born with versus developed over time. Oftentimes, we need to give direction and we need much stronger instructions and guidance to someone else for that person's benefit. We really need to use a trust in that scenario. There's really no way around that. And please, if you have someone in your family that meets that qualification, that you are concerned is not going to be able to manage money for one reason or another, it's a thought process that says, I'll just disinherit them and I'll give all the money to their sibling. Please don't do that to their sibling. Please don't do that to the individual. Good estate planning can resolve everything. Mm. So the thought process of, I have a special needs child and I've been told I should disinherit them, it's absolutely wrong. Don't do it. Let's sit down and discover how we can do that better and protect them with what you want to give them. Or someone has a drug issue. Don't disinherit them just because they're having problems in their life, or even if you don't believe they're ever really going to make it over the hump, there's ways that we can help them manage their assets so that they don't get the disinheritance tag upon them, if indeed that's what your heart is to not disinherit.
Well, back to
them.
The disabled child and has become an adult. Isn't it better sometimes to sort of like put them in the state's care and then augment their care with a trust? Because otherwise the state doesn't take care of them if they've got money.
Yeah, that's right.
And
that's what I'm talking about, is that the thought process is we don't want to give that that child who needs assistance, we don't want to give them assets, because indeed you're correct, where the state would look at them and go, you've got money, use your money. So we can develop a particular type of trust that it's called a supplemental trust. It's also known as a special needs trust. So there's different taglines for it. But and it would meet the qualifications that the state has given us to say, if this type of a trust is built, then we won't count it as assets of the disabled individual. And so therefore, we will continue to assist them. You just can't use the money and interfere with what we would assist them with. So in other words, the trust can't pay for what the state has available for them: housing, food, medical costs, things of that nature. But it can supplement the needs care.
And that's a lot of times more the need. Like to get a little bit better care, private room, extra goodies of some kind.
Yeah, that's right. I'll give you an example. The state does not pay for braces, but yet braces can often improve somebody's health. And so if someone under the state's care needed braces or needed dental work, then because the state is not going to pay for that, then the special needs trust or the supplemental trust could actually step in and assist with that expense. And the state would not say, oh, that you did something wrong. We're going to count that money as income towards the individual that we care for. So a special needs trust is a very powerful tool, and yet gives the needy individual far greater assistance than if you would have just simply disinherited them and put the money into the hands of a sibling. As a matter of fact, it's actually the worst thing you could do, both to the sibling oftentimes, but the sibling would usually manage the care of the special needs trust anyway. But if the sibling themselves actually starts paying for this thing, it can be turned into income for the disabled individual. So you're actually not accomplishing what you think you're accomplishing. Mm-hmm. So it's better to do good planning. It's best to do good planning. And there's other avenues that we could take with a trust to protect that individual long term. So when we talk about wealth reception, a trust is a far more powerful tool, because we can give direction, whether it's to an individual who needs assistance because they have no financial skills, or because they need assistance for the rest of their life. Or actually, it could be a phenomenally powerful tool to an individual who is financially savvy, who does do well because they want direction from you, just like someone who needs assistance. So I talk to many well-to-do beneficiaries or inheritors, and actually planning with an inheritance and giving them a vision that started, this is what God has given me to hand off to you. That is a powerful tool to all children and should not be overlooked. Mm. And so it's actually the responsible child that a trust could be the most powerful in their hands for. Okay, so we don't need to give them restrictions. We don't need to put boundaries. But it could be a discussion of, this is the passion that God has put on my heart, and so will you utilize what I have given you to fulfill that passion and carry it on and add to the vision that God has given me with what I've left behind? And I'm leaving it in a trust because there's so many powerful, there's so many other powerful reasons to leave money in a trust. There's tax reasons. So there can be tax protections in a trust. If someone was to get divorced, we can protect the inheritor from having their inheritance taken from the walking away spouse without court battles, without leaning upon presumptions of law. So there's many powerful reasons to utilize a trust instrument. One of the most powerful is so that you can leave a vision to the next generation. And that vision needs to come from your Heavenly Father. And we can capture that, but we got to sit down and start the journey together.
Okay, if you've been listening today and you want to start that journey or augment what you've already been doing with your estate, well, Paul Grant would love to help you. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Well, head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, educational opportunities that are coming up, and ways to communicate with us. We'd love to talk to you, so head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Legacyandfaith.com. This is the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.